Hello, it's Ed.
Hey Ed, it's Joanne.
Hi Joanne, I'll see you soon.
Yes.
And I haven't had a chance to look at the slides that you sent yesterday.
No worries.
And I'm hoping that when I'm in Vancouver, I might even be possible to meet with those students so they could go through the whole thing. I'm just down to my ears with houses and grants. So,
houses?
Yeah.
Are you looking to move?
I'm closing on a house till Friday.
Wow.
So.
What are you closing on, Ed? It's Michael.
I bought a house out in Rancho Santa Fe.
Wow. Congratulations.
So,
yeah.
Well, I don't know. It could be the money pit. But, and then I'm selling my house in the desert, I think. That's in escrow. So I've just been signing my name to thousands of papers. And it's not been a very fun experience. And then with all the rain we had, my house here has a leak in the under a patio door. So
oh, no.
I've just been going nuts. So it's so much fun in games.
So, Ed, absolutely, we can meet, and we'll just try to figure out a time because they'll be in and out because they're also running experiments right now. But
sure.
We can find a time that they'll be there that we can get together.
Yep.
So no problem. We can do it then.
Good. All right. Jennifer?
Yep. Yep.
Bill Barnett?
Yes, I'm here.
Ken Jones? Scott Parnell?
Here.
Jeff Wozniak?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Tina Chambers? Peter Hammond?
Yeah, yep.
Johann Eberhardt? Kirsty Donald? Tom Donaldson?
Yep. Hi,
Kathy? Yeah. Kirsty, was that you?
Yes, this is me.
Okay, Kathy Mitchell, John Hannigan, Sarah Jo.
I'm here.
Hey, Sarah Jo, how are you?
I'm just groovy.
All right, Dale Harrell, Bill Dunty.
Bill's here. I'm not sure if Dale's going to make the call or not.
Okay, hi, Bill. And Helen?
I'm here.
Okay. So the ones I'm missing are Dale, John Hannigan, Kathy.
Hannigan's
Mitchell.
Here.
Hey, John Hannigan. I heard you had like 80-degree weather up there.
It was. It hit 70 degrees yesterday.
Wow.
In February, it's supposed to be 65 today. I can't stand it. I'm roasting.
Johann, Tina, Ken Jones.
Ken Jones is here.
Ken?
Hi, Ed.
I understand you're seeing the guy from Kenya. Thank
I
you.
Am seeing the guy from Kenya tomorrow,
interesting
morning.
Interesting man.
Good. I look forward to it.
And if there's anyone who would like to do get involved in research in Kenya,
yes.
he'd love to participate. people who are willing to join him. He has over 100,000 sex workers who all drink very heavily.
Wow.
And have children.
Wow.
So
what a shame, huh?
Yep.
Pretty incredible.
All right. So let's move on. Our first thing is the agenda. On the agenda are the presentations by PIs. So we have them scheduled today for Bill Barnett, Ken Jones, Tom or Kathy, Scott, and Joanne, I believe. And we'd just like a brief WebEx presentation so we can see where you are in CFAST 3 and what your aims were, the interesting highlights, the findings, the papers that you did, and how your project integrated with other ones. And a lot of this is so that we're prepared for the next iteration of CPAP, and it'll help me out in planning my presentation and helping everyone understand how these projects are integrated. So, Bill, you want to kick off? Can you share your screen?
I think I'm sharing a screen. Is it the one with the bird on it?
It is.
All right, hang on a sec. Gotta...
Part of a bird.
Part of a bird, yeah. All right, there we go. So, and can you see my presentation now?
Yep, I can even see your next slide.
It's not in presentation mode.
Not in presentation mode. You know, I'm just going to do this. Okay, so here's our title slide. Here's a summary of our three aims from, this is phase three, continued cyber infrastructure support. In other words, that's kind of IT support, if you will. Collection of additional data sets, and then support of affiliated projects. This is how we wrote them in our application 5 years ago. Here's a little bit more detailed breakout of the three aims, data management and integration for CFAS data dictionary architecture for managing CFAS data sets, and supporting exploratory data analysis. And we'll show a little bit of that later on. Provide reporting support to the administrative core. That's the monthly reports that Helen does. And aim two, we're creating additional software tools to incorporate new data sets for modalities that are not already. So as people bring in new data, we will accommodate that and incorporate them in the central repository. Modify existing or develop new technology solutions. So if there's new things that people want, we will also develop kind of de novo solutions for people's projects. And then aim three, permission systems, so data from affiliated studies may be securely shared. I think that really means so we can share data with affiliated studies and then work with them allow affiliated studies to have their data integrated into CFAS, into the CFAS central repository if they wish. So, and now I think we were really talking about the PaaS project for that, but I don't think that, from our perspective in Informatics Core, that never really came to be. I'd say one of the big accomplishments we had was setting up data sharing through CFAS site. So that was establishing that site, describing all the data sets and the projects that were describing their data sets contributed a lot of great information about what was in their data. The data sharing policy, the data use agreement, and the data access request form, and we also provided some interactive repository browsing so people who were not really familiar with the nature of our data in detail could come in and browse around without seeing any kind of PHI to get a better idea of what they might want to request when they made a data request of us. Here's a screenshot of that kind of graphical data exploration. This actually is a screenshot from what's on the CFAS.org website that people can browse around, and there are some pull-down menus along the top. People can parse the data, parse their query a little bit, and get more specific information or drill down a little bit more into the data sets that are available from CFAS. Here's our chart of collaborations that are aligned a little bit based on what we're doing for our, based on our aims, but really based on how we line up with each of the projects. For data collection, here are the specific projects that we were providing services for. And you can see down at the bottom the specific projects that we were supporting, color-coded. The data query is a central where we are working on a neurobehavioral query for Sarah. Improving the cross-query, that was a big goal for us in CFAS 3 was to improve the cross-query functionality because that was broken. And I think we pretty much got to the point where that's been fixed now. Improving the data analysis and reports, and you've seen one report that we've done already. And we're happy now that Helen is fully versed in Tableau to start to produce other kinds of reports or visual analytics for folks as they need them for their projects. And data management, you know, continuing with our work to provide data management tools, and then I think the really the new thing that we did in phase three was this external, you know, external outreach to people who wanted to provide that, for us to provide access to data for outside projects and making those data publicly available and trying to make that bar as low as possible for people to get access to our data while still protecting the privacy of our patients. Here's an example of the Central Repository Progress. This is, I know it's difficult or too impossible to see the detail, but this, you can look at the patterns and see the patterns of aggregation of data for various projects of various data types for the Central Repository over the past couple years. Another new thing we took on right at the end of Phase 3 in preparation for Phase 4 was the CFAS Volunteer Registry, where working with NOFAS, we're creating a registry for people to volunteer either themselves or their children to be to participate in the registry. And at the publication of this slide, we had 77. I believe we're over 90 volunteers now, and we have some demographics on the patients who have volunteered, so that we can help make these available for potential recruitment for studies in phase four. The one slide, if you asked for the one slide, and I think we've already sent this one to you, Ed, Here's the one slide of probably the three things we consider of value that we did during phase three that we would want to advertise as our contribution. So again, supporting internal CFAS research community, improving the access to data, improving the integration of data, outreach to the external FASD research community, and then the starting this patient engagement with the volunteer registry working with NOFAS. So that's the kind of high-level summary of the informatics score.
Thanks, Bill. Some of the slides are really interesting, I think, would provide me with data that will come in handy for the reverse site visit. So I appreciate that. Thanks.
And if you need some things customized, you know, Helen be happy to kind of make things fit the story you're trying to tell.
Okay, hopefully when I get home from Vancouver, I will have it all ready to, you know, get anything I need done. All right, Dr. Jones, let's try to keep him brief or we're going to run over time.
Right. I'm afraid that I cannot make this WebEx work.
Well, that's not surprising.
Is that not surprising because there's a problem with WebEx or because of me?
No. Are you on WebEx or no?
No, I can't do it. So if I've got my slides in front of me, if I can just I don't know, Jill, do you have my slides?
I do. I'm working on getting them. Hold on one sec.
Yeah, I don't know whether you want to put them up or not.
Well, why don't we move on to NOFAS and we'll come back to you.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. And if you can email the slides to Jill, that would be great.
Jill, do you want me to do that?
I've got them, so we're set. I just needed to on my computer.
All right, so now we're here from Tom and Kathy.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
You got to be quick, Tom. That's the only problem.
Yes. I'll start out, and then Kathy, please jump in. Just a quick first slide to review our two aims, dissemination of findings, published findings, and then also collaboration. In phase four, if we're able to move into that, we'll be a little bit more expanded. We have additional aims, but over phase three, this is what we focused on. Quick slide, graphical presentation of some of the activities. You can see to the left the trainings and lectures, quite a few over the course of the few years. All the trainings and lectures here are a comprehensive presentation of CFAS findings and summaries of what the investigators are doing. You also see the webinars. Many of you, I think six of you, participated in one of the webinars during this phase. A few published articles, not in high-impact journals, but nonetheless, magazines and other publications that reach our audience, sort of the layperson audience, but also practitioners. did a couple Twitter chats with investigators and NIAAA, and then numerous media interviews, many of them regarding light drinking and so forth. To break that down a little bit, and if Kathy, you're on, you may want to jump in here. We just have two slides with quick sort of examples of some of the trainings or keynote speeches that have been given.
Kathy, yeah, so the, hi everybody, it's Kathy. So the one thing to know is that every single presentation we do, whether it's at a Grand Rounds for Physicians, the American Bar Association, high-risk women and their staff, tribal communities, we even reached a delegation from China, and certainly with NAFCA, we start with the CFASD research. So it always starts with your research, and from there we build out making recommendations for prevention, intervention, and treatment. So it's really framed around everything that you're doing. We also had some posters at some of the international conferences, and again, CFASD is always present as kind of the central theme of what we are bringing to communities. Go ahead, Tom.
And you see also, I do want to point out, lawmakers we reach out to, those briefing sessions where we just focus on the published research, we don't talk so much about what's in the works, but really just would summarize and highlight what's been published. Then publications that Kathy has authored herself, summarized here. The webinars I referenced earlier, you see Ed, Michael, Kathy, Sula, Tina, Ken, and Jeff and Julie, who did webinars. We hope to do more with going forward. All these webinars, by the way, are then in the NOFAST YouTube channel, Alcohol Free Pregnancy, and many of them have multiple thousands of views. I remember about a year ago, the Washington Post article wasn't just featuring Kathy. Ken was featured in that, and then sort of follow-up media coverage. Michael and Tina talked about some of the issues that were prompted in the article in other publications. Just two more slides quickly. This is sort of a catch-all, sort of highlights some of the NOFAST campaigns and activities where we've sort of assimilated the CFAST research. The Circle of Hope, the Birth Mother Network that Kathy founded, Awareness Month. Many of you participated in this video, about a 20-minute video. We had a couple of hundred people sort of talking about what they were doing regarding FASD during Awareness Month. The Twitter chats previously mentioned, and also the lower left, the NOFAST Affiliate Summit. These are logos from many of the organizations that are part of that network where we spent a portion of the summit highlighting CFAST research. And I think this is the last slide, or maybe one or two more. Ed was with Dr. Kube and others at a congressional briefing that was put on by the Friends of NIAAA. NOFAST is one of the executive committee members of the Friends, and I encouraged them to focus on FASD, which we will do again in the future. There's Ken Jones with Lisa Murkowski at the NOFAST event, and we were honored to have Michael's, one of our Excellence Award recipients a couple of years ago. And I guess lastly, as Bill just mentioned in his presentation, working with Informatics Corps on encouraging volunteers to sign up for CFAST studies. And that's it.
And I would say that I'm very pleased with this sign-up. I got two emails yesterday from parents who thanked me and thanked us for our research. So it's, I think three people signed up today. So I think we're doing good on that.
That's great. Great news.
And thanks again. Some of that data will also come in handy. I just got to commit it to memory or write notes to myself about it. All right, are we ready? Here's dysmorphology. Dr. Jones.
Okay, the first slide, Jill, can you just advance these slides as I advance them on my thing?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the specific aims are set out here. They're, first of all, to assure consistency as well as accuracy and recognition of FASD, in all the projects to develop a training DVD that could be used to teach physicians and other healthcare professionals with little or no experience in diagnosis to correctly identify the characteristic structural features of FAS through a physical exam. Number three is to develop a methodology where long-distance consultation can be provided to physicians and other healthcare providers and outline areas throughout the world. So this was our telemedicine project. And the last aim was to document the prevalence of major malformations in children prenatally exposed to alcohol and in so doing delineate the extent of ARBD. That unfortunately did not work out. We were planning on doing it in Ukraine and it just did not work out there. So the highlights are shown on the next slide. 678 of the 2,220 total individual subjects examined and diagnosed by the Dysmorphology Corps were examined in CIFASD3. So a sizable number of them all examined by me. 7 training DVDs of children being examined by me and 1 training DVD of a child with NDPAE being examined by Rachel Fiedler were produced and are being used. 10 pediatric residents at UCSD, 5 of who had been trained by me on live patients and 5 who received their training by using the DVD exclusively took a 10-question FASD quiz, which revealed no difference between the two groups. And finally, a telemedicine program was successfully developed in collaboration with Jeff Wozniak at the University of Minnesota. So here are, on these next two slides, are some of the, all of the papers, actually, that we were involved with. The interactions with other consortium sites is shown here to meet our goal of performing and or validating physical examinations of all individuals who are participants in the CIFASD. The Dysmorphology Corps has collaborated with all of the clinically related UO1 projects, and I think it's fair to say that the outcomes of all these clinical studies over these past 4 or 5 years were completed through the consortium were totally dependent on these evaluations by the Dysmorphology Corps. And finally, as far as any new investigators brought into the field, Miguel Del Campo is one, and although he's been very involved in FASD with respect to clinical and research activities in Europe, he will be a co-I in CIFASD4 and will be groomed to take over the dysmorphology resource, research resource in the future as I phase out. And I didn't mention this on the slide that you're looking at, but another person who I think is very important who I've brought in is Pat Corrigan. Dr. Corrigan is a distinguished professor of psychology at the Illinois Institute of Technology. His research interests focus on stigma and discrimination experienced by people with health conditions and disabilities, and he, I think, is a major new force as far as our interests are concerned, and I think when I say ours, I mean all of CIFASD. He's speaking at the Vancouver meeting this year.
Thanks, Ken. Hey, Ken, can you send or bring a set of those DVDs to the site visit or send me a set and I'll bring them?
Absolutely.
I'll ship them in. Yeah, I'm shipping a bunch of stuff, so
okay.
If you send them here, I'll just ship them. You don't have to worry about them.
Okay, sounds good.
All righty. I like visuals, so, you know, not that I'm going to show them, but I could hold up empty CD cases, but I'd rather have the DVDs in them.
Right.
All right. Okay, Scott.
Okay. Let's do this. Do you guys see the full?
Yep.
The
and
full
again,
thing?
Again, time is of the.
Okay.
We're doing good, but time is critical. So.
5 minutes.
Yep.
Okay. So our first aim was to examine the correlations between the brain and the face at the different stages of early development. Aim 2 was to use DTI.
Can you speak up a little, please, Scott?
Aim 2 was to use DTI to look at structural connectivity. And then our initial Aim 3 was to define the histopathology and genesis of early regional brain dysmorphology, and then we expanded that about halfway through to examine genetic and environmental modifiers. And so I'll briefly go through that. So AIM-1, we did the brain-face correlations. We showed that a gastrulation stage exposure induces the classical FAS face. A slightly later exposure during neurulation leads to an expansion of the ventral midline of the brain and hypertelorism. And then these findings were are being published right now by Peter, who found similar things in the non-FAS, some non-FAS cohort. So that's very exciting that we found that Peter could confirm our mouse findings. This expansion of the midline and the hypertelorism had led us to propose the transient ciliopathy hypothesis, and that is, we're working on that now. We have some data showing that early ethanol exposure actually increases some key ciliogenesis genes, shown in the blue and purple, and we're actually seeing an increase in the number of primary cilia, which of course would lead to increased sonic hedgehog signaling and the wider brains and faces that we see. So further proof that we're working through a transient ciliopathy. So AIM-2 was the DTI. We changed it up a little bit and used DTI and quantitative susceptibility mapping. And we published a 2014 paper showing that, one, DTI is not very good in mice, which is one of the reasons why they went to the QSM. But the QSM revealed clear and significant abnormalities in some of the fibers and tracts in the brain. And they were likely because of reduced myelination. And this QSM is a fairly new imaging modality that may be promising in the future, particularly in mice, because for a variety of reasons that I won't go into, DTI just doesn't work nearly as well. All right, AIM-3. I'm going to focus on our genetic stuff, especially since that is most pertinent to the next iteration. In the first one, we showed that that in mice lacking one copy of Sonic Hedgehog or GLE2 were much more susceptible to the craniofacial dysmorphology induced by ethanol. And this was, of course, with a high dose of ethanol. We have since gone back and used a much lower dose of ethanol and showed a dose that doesn't induce any behavioral effects on its own, but when you have a low-dose ethanol genetic interaction, and again, we knock out one copy of Sonic Hedgehog and we get an effect. There we go. We also show that in the neurulation stage mice, and I apologize that this first graph is backwards, we get a slight increase in the width of the brain in our normal wild-type mice. When we knock out KIF3A, a key ciliogenesis gene, we almost double that, again showing this gene-environment interaction. And when we look at things like left striatal volume, which is initially a ventral midline structure, we see interaction, again proving that we're probably working through a ciliopathy at neurulation stages, not gastrulation stages. And we also have some behavior data to back this up, and I won't. It's pretty preliminary at this point. Then we have our BAX data, which shows that we can knock out one copy of BAX and slightly reduce the percent of eye defects that we see in other craniofacial malformations. If we knock out both copies of BAX, which is a pro-apoptotic gene, we can completely reverse the effects of alcohol. This has us kind of excited because this shows a nice conservation of mechanisms between the mice and the fish and probably the humans. And this has led us to propose a few genes that are in the BAX P53/PI3 kinase pathway that Tatiana has some preliminary data showing that there are allelic variations that are associated with an increased risk of FAS. And then Johan has some data. It's fairly new, and he's still waiting on some genotyping, but that he gets the same thing in fish. When you knock out backs, you basically get the same thing. And so we're planning on, at least Johan and I, publishing this together, hopefully in the next month or two. Right now we're just waiting on Johan's genotyping. And then, of course, I won't go into our other findings of the cannabinoids. You guys have seen all of that. But we're about to publish this as well. We have some data from a local collaborator here who has seen the ethanol and cannabinoid interaction and the cannabinoids alone in zebrafish. So we have a nice mouse zebrafish, and he can rescue with sonic hedgehog. So we'll have a very nice paper showing the ethanol cannabinoid interaction and synergism. Our interaction. You guys don't there. Of course, our interactions, of course, with Peter and all of the face brain shape analysis that he's still doing. Mike and I just emailed today about this. Johan, of course, that one goes without saying. And then Tatiana, who we identified some genes in our mouse model, and she is sequencing them in more detail, and it looks like, based on the preliminary data, that it's quite positive. And, of course, Kathy Sulik did a lot of work with NOFAS on FASD prevention efforts. And that's all I got.
Thanks, Scott. And one last one would be Joanne, and we'll find out if people have questions about things. But.
Okay.
Here we go. Share. Can you see my screen?
Yep.
Good?
Good.
Okay, good. So this was a developmental project, identifying an immune signature characteristic of FASD, implications for immune-based intervention strategies. We had one specific aim, and that was to probe for an immune signature, suggesting possibly an early pro-inflammatory bias, which is what we saw in our rat model, that is characteristic of FASD and may be linked to maternal immune function. And we began by looking at maternal immune function. I'll skip the intro. So this is a joint project with Tina Chambers, using samples taken from pregnant women and children in her Ukraine cohort. Plasma samples were obtained from banked samples collected over a period of time. The women were moderate to heavy alcohol-consuming women, and their low consumption or abstinent counterparts. We used a mesoscale discovery multiplex assay where we could look at 40 analytes, cytokines, chemokines, and other inflammatory markers. And then when we looked at the data, we were able to subdivide our samples based on child output. So we had women who were consuming ethanol, as I said, and they had children affected, that is, with neurobehavioral problems consistent with FASD, but there was a subset of women whose children were resilient and didn't show any obvious neurobehavioral changes. And then we had our controls, who were not drinking and had unaffected, typically developing children with normal neurobehavioral scores. But again, a small subset of the controls had children who were actually affected, who had some neurobehavioral problems due to other reasons. So I'm going to show two data slides. I think everyone has seen this. I've presented this before. These are heat maps describing our data. So on the left are heat maps showing our cytokine expression during second trimester, and on the right, third trimester. And the color coding goes from low expression in green to high expression in red. So just focus on the second trimester heat map for a moment. Every column is a different cytokine. They're listed at the bottom here, a little bit small, but we're not going to talk about specific cytokines right now for this presentation. So every column is a cytokine, and then the four rows with our four groups, as I mentioned. So the top two rows are women who are drinking alcohol, and you can see that in the top two rows, the heat map looks quite different from what we see for women, samples from women in the bottom two rows. These are our controls. So the first take-home message is that women consuming alcohol, the plasma cytokine profile in women consuming alcohol is quite different from that in controls, regardless of child outcome. But then comes the really interesting part, and that is we can further subdivide it by child outcome. So women who are drinking who had children who were affected, and shown in the top row, had the cytokine profile, shown in the top row. And in the second row are women who were drinking whose children were resilient. No obvious signs of FASD. Similarly, the controls in the third row are women who were not drinking and had typically developing children. And in the fourth row, you can then see, again, a slightly contrasting cytokine profile for women who didn't drink but whose children had some neurobehavioral problems. So if the maternal plasma alone tells us a lot in being able to sort of predict what children might be vulnerable, and also possibly eventually to figure out what maternal factors might be protective. And I'm going to show one other data slide that's hot off the press, and thanks to Tina's fantastic informatics group, Gordon and Alan, Gordon Honekamp and Alan Wells. And here is the final data slide I want to show. So cytokines don't work alone. Here we have individual cytokines, but cytokines don't work individually. They work in networks. They are related to each other. And the function, the activity of the cytokines really reflects networks of cytokines acting together. And so this is very preliminary. We haven't built in our controls for confounders yet, but just to look at what we saw in terms of cytokine networks, and this is a slide you haven't seen. So these are control moms, women who are not drinking, whose children are typically developing. So this is the pattern in the control group. This is the network we see. The round circles represent hubs, and the size of the circle signifies how many cytokines are connected with this one cytokine, how many cytokines interrelate, or what nodes are connected to this particular cytokine. So here we have a large hub, another hub, another hub, and so on. And the size of the hub reflects how many other cytokines interrelate with that one. The lines show these connections, and the thickness of the line represents the strength of the correlation between cytokines. And the color signifies whether the correlation is positive or negative. So blue is a negative correlation, and green to yellow as a positive correlation. Blue is a negative correlation, and as we go to the green to yellow, it's positive. So here's a network shown just all of the cytokines from all of the control moms whose children were unaffected. Now I can go a bit more quickly. These are control moms who had children affected with neurobehavioral problems, but for other reasons other than alcohol exposure. And you can see the type of network we see and the interconnections differ from that of the control group. Let's look at the two alcohol groups. These are alcohol-consuming moms in the top left whose children were affected. Again, a very different cytokine network is shown. Fewer connections, a sparser network, fewer major hubs. And on the top right are alcohol-consuming moms who had unaffected children, whose children were more resilient, a somewhat not busier, but somewhat more interconnections in this network on the top right compared to the top left. So I think this is going to be the biggest payoff for us, although the heat maps are pretty powerful. Here we really get more into function and more into the kinds of networks of cytokines that we see. So these data to us are extremely exciting and suggest that the plasma in the mom gives you a pretty important picture of what's going to happen to the child. We now have child plasma. Tina has them in her hands, and we will get samples in the next couple of weeks, and we will run the child samples once we have them. And that will be the icing on the cake to be able to see what's actually happening in the children. So the first human study to identify immune phenotypes of women drinking alcohol during pregnancy, particularly in relation to child outcome. And as I said, the maternal cytokine profile, which we now have are analyzing, give us information on which children may be affected, which may be resilient. And also we see a difference in children whose neurobehavioral problems are due to alcohol and those whose neurobehavioral problems are not due to alcohol, at least as reflected in the maternal cytokine profile. So now, does that now carry through to the child's profile? We think that these cytokine networks really can provide a kind of biomarker that may predict which children may be at risk and which maternal factors might be protective. And as I've said all along, really this is implications beyond just health. This is beyond just immune function, but the immune system, cytokines play a big role in brain development. And so I think these findings, and this is what we're now working on, correlating the cytokine measures with child functional outcomes. And that's a big focus for our CFAS-4 project. So other outcomes, functional outcomes, attention, cognitive function, adaptive function, are surely also going to be affected by changes in the inflammatory profile in the mom and then directly in the child. So that's it. We had an abstract presented last year. We didn't have the network data in time for this year's RSA meeting, but I'm going to present that, the network slide, in my FASD meeting talk next week. But we've had a number of oral presentations where we talked about our CFAS data. I presented at last year's FASD conference in Vancouver, and that was focused on adolescents and adults with FASD. Tammy and Charlize, who are the key people in this grant, who are co-investigators of this developmental project and of our new proposal, are authors on a paper I presented at RSA in New Orleans, where I presented some of these data. And then Tammy has also presented these data in talks that she's given, one at the FASD study group where she won the Ken Warren Merit Award, and again at our department research day. And I presented as well at a local research group. And we have a manuscript currently in preparation. So we are partway there. We are aiming to submit before the site visit, or at the very least shortly after, bringing all of these data together. And I can't thank Tina enough, and particularly her, as well her informatics group that is absolutely fabulous, Gordon and Alan. Okay, so interactions with Tina, with Ken Jones, with Claire Coles, who was also involved in the Ukraine project, and interactions with Rajesh, and he and I hope to bring our data together because he has data on a subset of these same women that we have. He's already published on this, and we hope to look at both microRNAs and cytokines and look at the power of two different possible biomarkers brought together. And then Tammy and Charlize in my lab, whom I just mentioned, have been involved in alcohol-related research in our animal model, but this developmental project and our proposal for the UO1 has really enabled them to come into the clinical research field as well. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Joanne. I have one question. Have you looked at how good cytokine profiling would be to determine the outcome in any particular mother? Like, could you predict what the mother was based upon her cytokine activity, and how good would that prediction be? I hope
so,
I'm making myself
right,
clear.
You're absolutely clear, and that is one of the questions that sort of came through for our practice. And obviously, so far what we've built are mean data, all the moms together. But the next step is then to see, can you bring this to the individual level, both for the mother and then subsequently for the child? And that may involve pulling out either particular networks that are critical that show up consistently across women or within individual women, or maybe just sort of six or ten key markers that come out as critical. So that's a next step in the analysis.
Okay. Now, I just wanted to ask everybody, I know you set the slide set, but some of them are different than what we saw originally, so if you could send the updated PowerPoints of these, I would greatly appreciate it. And
yep.
I also have to say that I think I'm going to have a hard time picking out which data to highlight in our progress. I think we've done very, very well, and a lot of interesting stuff. I got a few other things that we have to discuss today, and then we will move on. But I need to encourage everybody who has data to get it into the central repository. It's a little lagging sometimes, and so if you have that data, get it into the data so that we have accurate numbers for the reverse site visit about how many data points we have at each measure. So if you could get that done, I would request it. I'm asking to do it. I also want to, when you're considering authorship, consider whether you should use CFAS as an author on papers. And I know some journals don't do that, but just think about it. Our next conference call is going to be March 22nd. And as most of everyone on this call knows, we're having a reverse site visit practice Friday, March 3rd. From 5:30 to 8:30, and I will let you know the locations for that.
Is that the one at Vancouver?
In Vancouver, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and so, you know, and any questions that people have, and we sent out that thing about the interactions, and that, I think, if we need that data because there seems to be some confusion about who's doing what for who. And I want to make sure that gets addressed. And there's 3 months left in CFAS, and there are a lot of projects where they just need one or two subjects to basically meet their goal that they proposed in their original application. And then there are a number of projects who have a little bit more data that they have to acquire still. And there are some sites, for example, that have no change in their data since the middle of last year. And so I would urge people to try to get as many subjects in as they can to get their numbers up to near what their goals were, because I think that may be something that's going to would be considered in moving any project forward. You know, some of you have done very well, others it's a little on the lacking side, and so I hope you could make that up. Now, are there any issues from the NIAAA people?
Ed, Dale's here. I unfortunately couldn't be on the call earlier, but I've been...
We're just glad to have you.
Thank you.
So do you have any comments? Or
Ed, I would echo, I think Dale and I would echo the comment that you just made about really taking the next couple months and in addition to preparing for the reverse site visit, really having people, you know, push towards meeting those recruitment goals and, you know, accomplishing what CFAS 3 set out to do. I think that would be in the best interest of everyone involved.
Yeah,
so thank you for reminding us of that.
Yeah, and you and I can talk about that. I have it by project of who has what and where they were supposed to be. And I can share those data with you. And I think, you know, these are things that, that we need to consider. All right, so any, Michael, any comments? If you're still there, I know you're on in transit.
No, I'm here, and I have to say I'm very impressed. I think that you get all this stuff out and published, but he has, from my perspective, been very successful before, so I look forward to the reverse site visit.
Yeah, I'm impressed, and I agree. I think we need to get the papers out, you know, because it's not usually considered data until it's in the repository and published. So I would encourage everyone to do that. Let's see. Jeff, you're on the thing here? Jeff, you there?
I'm here, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I was on mute.
I have a slide in that I sent out in the draft of the PowerPoint presentation that I was going to use for the reverse site visit.
Yeah.
And I would like your comments on that, because there's one slide that highlights some of your data, but I don't like the pictures that I'm using to highlight the data.
Okay.
So if you could look at it and tell me, you know, what to replace them with or make changes in the slide, that would be great.
I will do that.
All righty. And it's impressive, and I hope everyone's gotten their abstracts and publication and RSA presentations to Jill so we can fill those numbers that are missing in on that slide. Everyone else's suggestions have been taken on the slide where we thought they worked, and some of them weren't accepted, but it is what it is. I'll try it in Vancouver, and we'll go from there, and hopefully we'll make changes, and everybody will be on the same page about collaborations. I think the data sharing was a major issue last, not an issue, but a major component last time in the review, so I would expect people to know how that all works, and maybe at the reverse site visit we'll, you know, because right now they're going to ask how many people have asked for data, and we don't have any, so we have to come up with a rationale for why. And I think it's CFAS 1 and 2 data that are available. I'm not sure if CFAS 3 data are available yet at all, but that's, under, I think, understandable for the publications. And there was a change in the reverse site visit team, and Mary O'Connor is not on it anymore, and she's been replaced with Tatiana Bolanchova. So that's really all I have to say. So I'm done 5-7 minutes early. Wow. Any comments, questions for either the presentations or for the reverse site visit or the CFAS stuff?
Ed, just to pick up on the data sharing, maybe I missed it, but do we have some kind of sense of the metrics of sharing data yet?
Yeah, that's why I don't think we've received one request, and it was never moved forward formally because there was a human subjects issue.
Okay. Reasonable.
Pardon?
That's reasonable, and it was the first year, and the word will get out.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
So, you know, I think we highlight the fact that Bill presented it to the FASD study group, if we were asked about it, and that we will start advertising it more widely if necessary, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else? All righty. Well, thank you all. And again, send those slides so that I have those pretty pictures to use in my presentation. And I'll see some of you next week in Vancouver. All right. And
bye-bye.
Can Bill and Dale stay on?
Sure. Yep.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye, all.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Michael, you just...